Well, I'm thankful today that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer for whatever is wrong in your life, and He's also the answer for whatever is right in your life, too. I'm glad today that this gospel message that we talk about, that we preach about, that we endeavor to live by is very personal. It's alive. It's not just an idea. It's not somebody's thought that seemed to, you know, the pieces seem to fit together pretty well. But this came from God in heaven Himself. The Word of God, the gospel message, was delivered to us that we might find the answer to fulfilling our heart's desire, the innermost heart's desire that we have, that God created in us, wanting us to then seek Him, and then He wanted to be that answer. And I am thankful today for the goodness of God. I'd like to write the subject this morning on the board. It's a continuation from last Sunday. Talking about New Covenant Christians. Last Sunday we started exploring both the Old and the New Covenant dispensations. And we found in the Old Testament where God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. And Egypt was a type and shadow of sin. Egypt was a type and shadow of the bondage of sin. And it was also a type and shadow pointing us towards the deliverance from sin as well. And then we also looked into a little bit where the law was given by God through Moses to the children of Israel. And the law was given as a schoolmaster to help us, help the children of Israel, have a knowledge of sin, to recognize that there was wrong in their lives. It established right from wrong, and then when that right and wrong, or when the law was violated, then there was guilt that was associated with that violation. There was also a consequence, many times severe consequence, that was associated with violating the law. But the purpose of the law was to teach the people and to be a schoolmaster to help us understand the presence of sin and our great need of Jesus Christ and His righteousness and His forgiveness and His help in bringing us to a place where we could once again be at one with God, because there was no way that the children of Israel, there's no way that we today can adhere to a law sufficient to grant us forgiveness based on our own merit in the eyes of God. No way possible for us to do that today, and it wasn't then. And the law helped them recognize their need as the Lord continued His plan of fulfilling His overall plan. And we read also in Joshua, the first chapter, where the Lord promised, as another type and shadow, of the great temporal and physical victories that were to come to the children of Israel if they kept Him first. If they didn't veer to the right, and if they didn't veer to the left. The promise to the children of Israel was that if you will keep my commandments, if you will follow my law just exactly like it was given, then, it was an if and then, if you will do this, then the Lord promised them great blessings. He promised them that there was much land to possess. He said, every place that the sole of your foot treads would be theirs. He said, no man would be able to stand against them. He had a great inheritance in store for the people. And so, the people enjoyed many physical and temporal blessings at that time of life. And they experienced a land in Canaan that indeed was flowing with milk and honey. The children of Israel experienced great victory over those that came against them. They experienced great victory against those that they went to conquer. The land that God had promised to them, they went after those things. And by the help of the Lord, they were able to have those things for themselves, much victory. And it was designed to be that way. God intended for it to be that way. But as a result of that, the Israelites' minds were very much geared towards physical and temporal blessings. Because that's how God manifested Himself to them. And so His blessings most often resulted in more land, more prosperity. And that's the way that the old covenant was set up. But then Jesus came to fulfill the law. Jesus then came to fulfill what the law, what burnt offerings and sacrifices, He came to fulfill what the land of Canaan represented. The Lord came to bring us grace and truth. He came to help fulfill the need that we all have in our hearts and our lives. He wanted to do something special for us. And so the Scripture said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace through faith was now come to do an inward work within us. Back then, the focus was on the outward. It was focused on gaining land, defeating enemies, seeing the miracles of God that came where you saw water come out of the rock and manna come down from heaven, representative of the manna of life that Jesus Christ Himself wanted to be to us, food for us. He wanted to be our water. He wants to be our manna. Jesus Christ came to fulfill what the land of Canaan represented. He came to bring down the walls of sin, those things that hold us in bondage. And the Lord wanted us to be able to understand the old dispensation, that we would better recognize our need of the new dispensation. And the Lord wanted His law to then be written in tables of stone that we would look at every once in a while and try to remind ourselves of. No. The Lord wants to write His law in our hearts. The Lord wants all of us today to feel His presence in our souls. He wants to talk to you. The Lord wants to reveal His way to you. He wants to turn the light on, if you will, in your heart and in your mind of what truth is. He wants to be the light in your pathway. He wants to show you as an individual who He is and what He wants to do for you. He wants to be special to you. as a person. And that's what He came to do, an inward work where His Holy Spirit would then come and live within us, where we could experience a life where those walls of bondage could be brought down, sin would no longer reign in our lives anymore, and that we could once again be one with Christ. Finally, we talked a little bit about last Sunday the fact that living according to grace and truth, it results in a different life than living under the law and without grace. It's a different life. God came to bring us to a place where we could be one with Him. And we don't live the same way that they lived under the old dispensation. And we also don't pattern our lives as those that were under the old dispensation. You know, sadly, some continue to want to pattern their lives after the old heroes of faith in the old dispensation. Some say, well, David was a man after God's own heart, and yet he committed adultery. He committed adultery, but he was a man after God's own heart. Elijah, well, he got depressed. He was ready to just call it quits with his life, and he ran, and yet he was a mighty prophet. And Moses over here, Moses, he was the leader of Israel, but he got mad and broke the stones that the commandments were on, and yet he was a mighty leader of Israel. Rahab, she was a harlot, and yet Jesus chose her to be part of the lineage that He came from. Well, we know that there's a lot more to those stories. But I fear that sometimes, if we're not really careful, we can look back at some of the old heroes of faith back in the old dispensation and endeavor to justify areas of sin in our lives that God wants to deliver us from. God does not want us to look to the old dispensation as our example. The Lord wants us to understand the old dispensation so that we would better understand the new dispensation, the new covenant, the new promise, the gift that He came to bring us, the victory that He wants for us in life. David is not our example anymore. Moses is not our example that we're supposed to follow. Elijah is not our example. Yes, they had attributes. David was a man after God's own heart, and we want to understand that he was humble, and the Lord wants us to capture that example and learn from it. But we are not just to look at David and say, David embodies what God wants to see in my life. Or Moses, or Elijah, or Rahab, or any, the list goes on. Jesus Christ is now the author and finisher of our faith. The Lord wants us to look to Him as our example. The Lord wants us to recognize that He has the answer for us in this new dispensation. We do not have to live in bondage to sin anymore. And we find that the disciples, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, did not follow after the example of David and Elijah in the things that they did wrong, or Rahab or Moses, but rather they looked to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not live according to the pattern of those that were in the old dispensation. And Jesus Christ is our example now today, bringing something that takes us to a far different place than those in the old dispensation or the present wisdom of man today. Be careful about the wisdom of man that is given far and wide. There's churches, it seems like, on every corner. There's podcasts that abound everywhere. There is so much that we can feed on today. And I'm not saying that there are not good things that we can get. May God help us today to recognize that Jesus Christ is our author. He is the finisher of our faith. He is the one that He wants us to look to for help as our example. And becoming one with Christ is going to bring about a changed heart. It's going to bring about a changed way of thinking. Becoming one with Christ that only occurred in the new dispensation in general. Abraham was a man that was accounted to have faith in God because of his belief, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. But in the old dispensation, they were not under grace. The Lord didn't provide for them in the Old Testament that they needed to live a life above sin, where sin did not reign, where holiness could be part of their lives. But when we become one with Jesus, folks, God wants us then to adopt His way of living and holiness. What is holiness? We talked about that a number of weeks back. So as a review, holiness means that we are dedicated. That we are committed. That we are set apart. Unto what? Unto God. This is what God wants from us in life. In the new dispensation time, under the new covenant, Jesus Christ is our author. He is the finisher of our faith. And He brings and gives His Holy Spirit to us if we will. But we have to be willing. This is our part now. We have to be willing to be dedicated above all else to Jesus Christ. We have to be willing to be committed. We have to be willing to be consecrated. And set apart unto God. And with a life that embodies that, there is much spiritual land that we can possess this morning. Folks, God has more land for you to possess today. I don't want to get stagnant in my spiritual life. I do not want to just come to church and feel like, well, I've heard it all before. I already know about it. This is my life. I've tried to do better in this area over here, but it just seems like that's my lot in life. And become accepting of where I am today. Jesus Christ has more land for us to possess. And to the extent that we are willing to be dedicated to Him above all else, and committed to understanding, Lord, what do You want for me personally in life? Lord, where are those things that are standing in between where I'm living today and where You are? It's going to mean something for us to give ourselves to the Lord, to be consecrated to Him above everything else. Yes, there's things in the world that we are part of. We live in this life. We live in this world. We're on this earth. We're going to do things that everybody else does. That's not what being set apart means. What this means is we set ourselves apart to follow after Jesus Christ regardless of what it means. Regardless if it means that we're going to be set apart from those that are around us. And living a holy life isn't always easy. We're going to have to want it worse than anything else. And I want to say this. Did you know that the children of Israel, when they went to battle against their enemies, they had warriors. They had those that were in their army. And those people back then, they gave themselves to understanding what it meant to fight a literal warfare. They applied themselves to knowing how to use a bow and arrow, and a sword, and a spear. And they worked at it, and they recognized that it was their part to play. But then the Lord wanted them to do all that they could do and not be casual about it, and then look to Him to give them the victory. God is not asking us today to let down in our sense of urgency in doing our part. Yes, we are under grace. Yes, we are in the new dispensation, but we still have a part to play in living for the Lord. We can't just live life and say, well, thank the Lord for the blood and for grace, and there's nothing that I can do. It's just all at the cross. It is because of the cross, thank the Lord. It is because of His blood. I cannot earn my way in, but I still have a responsibility to be dedicated to Jesus Christ. I still have a responsibility to be committed above all else in this life. To be set apart, to be consecrated. These words mean something and they manifest themselves in our lives in a real way. And I don't want to let down. We talked this morning in Sunday school about those that maybe they didn't understand the law as they should have understood. Maybe that was one of the reasons they got themselves into trouble. They had a responsibility to understand what the law was. We have a responsibility this morning too. We have a responsibility to apply ourselves to understand what doth say the word of the Lord. And if we become casual, if we have a less than adequate sense of urgency in applying ourselves to understand what God wants from me in life, He is going to be limited in giving us spiritual land that He wants us to be able to possess. May God help us today to be awake and alive and look for the fire in our hearts and in our lives, that we might be able to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. It's going to mean something. It's where abundant life is. It's where it can be found. If you just want a so-so experience, if you just want to follow religion, then just get in a rut. Come to church, give your tithe, watch, you know, what kind of language comes out of your mouth. Try to be a good person. Don't steal from people. Be a good neighbor. And that's about where it'll end. But if you want fire in your heart, if you want to gain and possess land that you've never been able to possess before, if there's places in your heart and in your life that you battle against, inward battles, hurts and bitterness and pain and suffering and tendencies that are not Christ-like that maybe you were born with, and you want some power over those, you want some victory in those areas, God has the victory for us in those areas. But we have a part to play. We're in a new covenant dispensation where the Lord says, I'll come and live in your heart if you'll allow me to. But you have to open your heart up. You have to be willing to be dedicated and committed and consecrated to who I am. The scripture says in Matthew 11, and I'll read it, Matthew 11 and 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. He's not talking about us today, that we're going to take swords and spears, and that we're going to take guns and knives and use physical force to be able to experience the kingdom of heaven. That's not what he's talking about. But he is talking about the fact that we are to be at peace with those that are around us. We are to be at peace with Jesus Christ. We are to live our lives in a way that accurately represents and embodies who Jesus Christ is. But we are to be internally violent with anything that stands in between us and our relationship with Jesus Christ. Violent with it. Those were words of the Scripture, not my words. And if you read in Matthew 5 and 29, again, this is Jesus Christ's words. He said that if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. Did he mean actually get a knife and cut your eye out or your hand? No. But what Jesus Christ was saying, this is important. This means something to be dedicated and consecrated to Jesus Christ. It is not a casual relationship. It's not see what I can get by with and still technically be saved, and I really haven't technically committed a sin that's in my life, and I want to get as close to the world as I can, but not sin, so that in the end I can make it to heaven. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent, those that want it worse than anything else, are going to be dedicated, committed, set apart, and consecrated to the kingdom of heaven. And he was speaking in terms, most people are right-handed. If you are left-handed this morning, the scripture would say that if your left eye offends you, pluck it out. If your left hand offends you, cut it off. He's talking about be willing to separate yourself from those things that are very important to you in life. Those things that you can't hardly imagine being without. You know, when someone breaks their arm, you know, one of the first questions you ask is, was that their right or their left hand? Because you're trying to figure out, are they going to still be able to write? Are they still going to be able to do most of the things? Oh, it was their left hand. Okay, well, at least it was their left hand. Well, it was their right hand. We don't like that. But the Lord is saying here, he's trying to impress upon us that the kingdom of heaven has come. The new dispensation is here. Grace and truth is here. But we have a part. And if we want a part of it, we can't let down. We have to be willing to do whatever it takes. We have to be willing to separate ourselves from whatever we need to separate ourselves from, if it is going to separate us from Jesus Christ. And yes, sometimes it involves separating ourselves from those things that in of themselves are not sin. There are things in life that in of themselves, your eye's not sin. God gave it to us. Our hand is not, there's nothing wrong with my hand. But if there are things that are a catalyst, if there are things in life that cause you to put you in a position where you are then at risk of being in trouble with your relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is saying, separate from it. The Lord doesn't want us to be old covenant believers with the priority on the temporal and the fleshly things. But he wants to lift us up to an experience of the new covenant dispensation where our affections are on things above and not on things of earth. And Jesus Christ wants to come and help you possess land inside your hearts and inside your lives. And it will influence the daily decisions that you make. May God help us. Yet the fulfillment really of the old covenant is found at the end of this chapter, where the new covenant was ushered in. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. And you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Did you know that that's what Jesus Christ wants to bring everyone here this morning? He wants you to have peace in your heart. He wants to be able to help you in those places that you struggle with. He wants to reunite us with Himself. People under the old covenant struggled, constantly failed at living at peace with God because they didn't have grace available to them. Jesus Christ came to bring us rest. He came to bring us peace. But that is our responsibility in the new covenant. Our responsibility is opening ourselves up to Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, whatsoever you want of me, that will I do. Where you go, that's where I want to go. Where you're going to be, that's where I want to be. Lord, I want you to be my God. I want your people to be my people. Lord, regardless of what it means in separation from those that are around me, Lord, you are the author and finisher of my faith. And I want to read this morning that God wants to give us grace and power and spiritual victory in areas of our life that the enemy has us bound. In the 4th chapter of Luke, Jesus got up in such a beautiful setting and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," in the 18th verse, Luke 4 and 18. "Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Do you ever feel poor? Do you ever feel without? Do you ever feel like you are without that which you need? Jesus Christ came to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You ever feel brokenhearted? Do you ever hurt? Did you know that Jesus Christ came to bring healing to the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, captive to all of the different kinds of sin that can get a hold of our hearts? Jesus Christ came to deliver us from those things where we are held captive. Recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And in the 21st verse, he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." I'm challenged this morning to be a new covenant Christian. I don't want to be an old covenant Christian. I'm thankful that I'm in the new covenant dispensation. The Lord was merciful to those. He knew how to judge all of those that were under the old covenant. But we have been given a wonderful privilege and blessing to be part of the new covenant dispensation. And if you are here this morning and you find yourselves perhaps more aligned with the old covenant way of doing things, how your life is unfolding, maybe your focus is more on temporal things. Maybe you're not finding spiritual victory. Maybe you feel like the only way you can feel like you're close to God is if physical and temporal things go your way in life. Jesus Christ invites you to a resurrection of life, where old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new in Him. Well, is that a life where we never experience any more temptations or trials? No. But it is a life and an experience where Jesus Christ wins the day. Where He brings us peace and comfort and power and grace and victory. "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Great peace have they which love thy law." The writer of Hebrews said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. There is a cross associated with being dedicated, committed, consecrated, and set apart unto God. May God help us see the joy that is on the other side of the sacrifices that are associated with that. Let's purpose in our hearts today. I know we live in a temporal world. I know that we are touched by those things. We are still in the flesh. We want to be good stewards of those things in this life. But may God help us lift our eyes up and capture a vision and experience of this new dispensation era when Jesus Christ wants to give us spiritual victory. Not just the ones that are in our past, but look ahead to those mountains that are still in your life. And trust the Lord and look to the Lord that He might give you victory over some of those spiritual places that you have not been able to attain yet. Some of those giants that have not yet come down. And I believe that if we will dedicate ourselves to that in this life, the promise of the gospel message is that He will be faithful to meet us. He will be faithful to give us much victory. Amen.